ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम रीडिंग फ्रॉम द 10th कैंटो चैप्टर 8 लॉर्ड कृष्णा शोज द यूनिवर्सल फॉर्म टेक्स्ट 44। सद्यो नष्ट स्मृतिर्गोपी सारोप्यारोहमात्मजम् प्रवृद्ध स्नेह कलिला हृदयासीद् यथा पुरा। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. Immediately forgetting Yogmaya's illusion that Krishna had shown the universal form within his mouth, Mother Yashoda took her son on her lap as before. Feeling increased affection in her heart for her transcendental child. Purport. Mother Yashoda regarded the vision of the universal form within Krishna's mouth as an arrangement of yog maya, like a dream. As one forgets everything after a dream, Mother Yashoda immediately forgot the entire incident. As her natural feeling of affection increased, she decided to herself, "Now let this incident be forgotten. I do not mind. Here is my son, let me kiss him." So we seek the blessings and prayers of all the Vaishnavas assembled here for the purification of myself, and so that we can glorify the Lord and remember His pastimes. So here, Pravardha Sneha Kalila. This is the word used by Shukdev Goswami. Pravardha means increasing, and Sneha means affection. So the thing what is happening here is, even after seeing the Vishwarup or the universal form or material form, the only thing what is happening in Lord's pastimes and devotees' life is their love is increasing. So that is the only thing which goes on. Each and every incident, each and every activity which Lord performs, or Lord puts His devotees into situation, the only cause, only reason is to increase the love, to increase the affection. And that is the reason when Krishna starts speaking the most confidential knowledge in Bhagavad Gita, He put the first condition, Idam tute guhyatamam pravakshyami anusuyave jnanam vijnanam sahitam yajgyatva mokshase ashubhat. That if you really want to get into this most confidential realm of scriptures or the whole creation, whether material or spiritual, and that is love between Lord and His devotees, so the first condition is anusuyave. One has to become non-envious. And if there is envy, there is no possibility of any exchange of love. When the same universal form was shown to Duryodhan, it was not exactly same, it was a different kind of form, but showing the basically Aishwarya's opulences. So Duryodhana love didn't increase, his envy increased. His frustration increased. He became so disturbed that, what are you trying to show me, eh? Don't show all this magic. We'll meet at the battlefield. All the Lord is showing so many things in that form also. All the demigods were coming out of His body and so many things were happening. But that didn't increase the love of Duryodhana basically. So one very important qualification which Lord demands to get into the pastimes of the Lord, or relish the pastimes of the Lord, or understand them, that anusuyave, we have to become non-envious. And that is the main cause of coming to this world also. Iccha dvesha samuthena dvanda mohena bharata. Because we had dvesha from the Lord, we have this kind of mentality that why he, why not me? You know, that is the root cause of all problem. Why he? Why is he getting mercy of the Lord? And why am I not getting mercy of the Lord? And if we see the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees, amazing qualities comes out where devotees feel more joy when another person is getting mercy. And this can be a test also. We can see in our life, we can peep into our heart that how much advancement we are making or we have made, that how much bliss comes when somebody else gets the mercy. How much we feel joyful when somebody goes ahead, do wonderful things, especially in the area where I am doing. Because other areas anyway we don't peep into, we don't look, worry about. So this is a very challenging thing, because love itself is a very challenging thing. Love is a very dynamic thing. It's completely different from peace. Peace is a static thing and love is a dynamic thing. And to make it dynamic, Lord has to create many wonderful situations, you know, in his own pastimes and in the devotee's life also. So that's why we find in devotee's life, life is not very static. Life is not very kind of, steady is not the right word. Life has to be steady, but not like, you know, monotonous. It is very much ups and downs, and we can't expect things which they happen. And basically what Lord does, let's first understand from devotee's life point of view, the Lord puts devotees in situations where they are forced to perform some sacrifices, where they are forced to perform or they are forced to face some difficulties. Like if we take the example of mother, why mother always loves the child, whether child loves or not? The basic reason which I can think of is that because mother has done so many sacrifices. Countless difficulties mother has to face ever since the child has taken place in the womb. Since that time, mother started having so many health issues and so many problems which she has to face. Then there is a delivery of the child and the growing of the child. In all these situations, mother has to go through so many sacrifices. And sacrifice actually brings us closer. Sacrifice forces us to think the object much more deeply. Like some parents don't get child so early. It takes a lot of time for them, a lot of prayers and a lot of things they have to do. And they get the child and child is, you know, again sick and all that. Then they really tell everybody, this child is very dear to us. So any relationship, when relationship goes through many difficult phases, it goes through many thick and thin situations of life, it actually becomes very deep. It's become very intimate. That is actually, we can see even in this material world, what we speak of in the realm of spirituality. But there is a friend and friend relationship. When two friends are undergoing different difficult situations and they are helping each other, they are loyal to each other, so that relationship becomes much more deeper. Even if sometime there is a problem in the relationship, in the friendship, like some misunderstanding or there is a kind of person feel that I have been betrayed or something. But if there is a loyalty, there is a kind of communication and they feel, you know, he is my friend and they continue with it, it becomes more thick. Husband-wife relationship, many problems, ups and downs, but they remain loyal, it becomes much more deeper. That was the Vedic culture. That at any situation, just maintain the relationship somehow. Try to adjust, serve each other, sacrifice. And when that person performs the selfless service, it becomes deeper. And that is the reason why the relationship becomes boring in material world after some time. Like if we take the example of boy and girl relation. In the beginning, boy is seeing all the wonderful things in the girl and girl is seeing all the wonderful things in the boy. And they are making a lot of sacrifices to meet each other. They're facing a lot of difficulties to come to a certain point. But you know, like family breeds contempt in the material world, in the material realm. So after some time, once they come closer, And there is a tendency not to perform sacrifices for each other, rather demanding the rights or expectations, so relationship gets spoiled. Even in the religion, when there is a relation of a demigod worshipper and the demigod, until the time, you know, they are doing sacrifice, they are in a hope of getting something, relationship continues, and once the expectation don't match, relationship breaks. So the whole point of pure devotional service is there is no question of expectation over here. Here is only a service. Like if you read Bhagavad Gita second chapter, it's named as contents of the Gita summarized. So basically whole Gita is there in the second chapter. So when Arjuna got confused in the first chapter completely, he just didn't know, didn't figure out what to do. So first, Krishna addressed the basic. Because if 1 plus 1 is equal to 3, if person counts, then everything will go wrong. So first he addressed the ABCD, Jnana. First you understand that you are not the body, you are the soul. So when he started speaking from 11th to 29th or 30th verse, he just talking only one thing. That if you think you are the soul, then also there is no point in not killing them. Because anyway, if you think they are the body, then also there is no point waiting not to kill them, because anyway they are going to die. So if you read that section between 11 to 30, Krishna addressed from both the angles. If you think they are soul, you are not going to die. And if you think they are body, they are anyway going to die. So why not kill them? It's your duty now. And then immediately he come to the karma after jnana, between 31 to 37 or 38. He said, no, you should fight. If you fight, you will do your activity, you will do your duty, and you will get all the benefits, all the fruits, heaven or the kingdom. And then immediately from 39 to 53, he shifted the gear to nishkam karma. No, you should fight just for the sake of fighting. Why should I fight then if I don't get any result out of it? What is the motivation? So the motivation is only one, that is pleasure of the Lord. That's why nishkam karma or buddhi yoga or bhakti yoga, they're quite similar. They're like aiming to the only one thing, and that is pleasure of the Lord. And keeping this as a foundation, as a philosophy, all the bhakti shastras have been designed and written and spoken in a very, very wonderful way. And those who have love, like Bhurjan Pu, I was hearing one lecture, he was talking that once he was talking to one Mataji, she stays in Vrindavan, Parvati Mataji. She was there in the Juhu land when they were attacking, Gundas were attacking the Juhu land. And that time, these Gundas came and they were dragging the devotees, literally beating them. And she was offering aarti to Radharas Bihari, and they dragged with her with her hair. You know, he was saying, it's in India, you know, in 70s, they were dragging the ladies from foreign who were worshipping the Lord. And they underwent really, really great sacrifices to develop that temple, to develop that place. It was not an easy thing. It was a difficult thing. That way, Prabhupada disciples did many sacrifices because they had love for Prabhupada. Among all the qualities, Krishna Eka Sharanam, that is the most important quality. And Prabhupada disciples had that. And that one quality made them qualified to cover all other faults, with apparent fault or apparent limitations which they may had. So, Bhurjan Pu said, I asked the Parvati Mataji later on, just few years back or few months back, or maybe, you know. He said, see, you were young at that time. So you could do those sacrifices and you underwent so many pains and everything. What about now if Prabhupada comes and asks you? At the flick of the moment, she said, 100 times again. 100 times again. Even the freedom fighters, you know, one of the lecture I was hearing, they were saying that they met one freedom fighter and they asked him, will you do it again for Mahatma Gandhi or Subhash Chandra Bose? They said, yes, 1,000 times again. For him, not for today's politicians. So the point is that when you have love for someone, when there is an affection, every activity increases the affection. when she was dragged, the Parvati Mataji was dragged from the altar, her affection for Prabhupada must have increased more and more. So Krishna arranges situations. And many times Krishna such things which are very difficult to accept also. Which are very, very painful also apparently from outside. But that's what devotional service is. And that's why it's considered topmost. Like today's Ramananda Raya's disappearance. And Ramananda Raya and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Samvad, if we carefully observe, it passes through 4 or 5 sections basically, not much. First, Ramananda Raya, when he was asked by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that please quote me the verse which talks about the essence of all the scriptures. So he begins with Varnashrama. He said, Atha Pumbi Duje Shrestha, Varnashrama Vibhagesha. So he basically talks about Varnashrama. That person should perform his duties according to Varnashrama, whether he is a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Oh, eh, bhaiye, this is external. This is external doesn't mean that it's not useful. It means that it is useful, but what I am looking forward, that is something different. Speak more. And then he start talking about that, it's not that doing the only duties yourself, you should be offering the fruits also to the Lord. Because somebody may be doing duties very nicely and keeping all the fruits to himself. Karmarneva dikaraste. Karma karne ka adhikar hai. I have a right to perform duty. But all the fruits are also mine. Not like that. Then Krishna clarifies. Ma phaleshu kadachana. Yat karoshi yad ashnasi yad juhosi dadasi yad. Yat tapasyasi konteya tat kurushma darpanam. So then Ramananda Raya proposes that this philosophy of offering the fruits of your duties to Krishna. Mahaprabhu says, speak more. Doesn't satisfy. Because still person is keeping something. Okay. Sarodhanman pritejya mamekam sharanam raja aham tom sarapabhyo mokshishyami mashucha. Abandon all varieties of religion and abandon all duties, everything. Just I am yours. So this is really good one. You know, giving up all the karma and saying sarvadharman. At least Lord Chaitanya should have been satisfied by this. He said, no, speak more. You know, that's why Chaitanya Charitamrita and Bhagavatam is much ahead of Bhagavad Gita. And then Ramananda Raya proposes the Jnana Mishrit Bhakti, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma, Na Shochiti Na Kangshati. That when person just get absorbed completely into the scriptures and start speculating various things, he feels some kind of joy. Some kind of peace and happiness, shanti. So whenever there is so much trouble in the, you know, like mind is troubling a lot, it's actually good to take shelter of scriptures, even from if somebody just want to have a peace kind of thing in his life. Because Brahma Bhuta Prasanna Atma Na Shochita Na Kangshati. It actually brings peace and happiness, some kind of happiness in the life. But it's just stagnant at that point. The Lord Chaitanya said, speak more. So after speaking Varnashrama, after speaking Yat Karoshi Yad Ashnashi, after speaking Sarvadharman, after speaking Jnana Mishra, then Ramananda Raya proposed Jnana Shunya. Jnana Shunya Bhakti. And then when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doesn't get satisfied, then what happens? Then ultimately Ramananda Raya proposes Prema Bhakti. Prabhu kahe oho hai, aage kaha, Raya kahe Prema Bhakti, Sarva Sadhya Sar. Prema Bhakti is the topmost. And then he actually gives a very beautiful analogy. He says, as long as there is hunger and thirst within the stomach, varieties of food and drink make one feel very happy. If there is a hunger, then only we like to enjoy various preparations. When there is no hunger, we don't even feel like looking at them. Similarly, when the Lord is worshipped with pure love, the various activities performed in the course of that worship awaken transcendental bliss in the heart of the devotee. So we may do many services, but why we don't get any bliss in that? The reason is that we don't have appetite, we don't have love. And pure devotees of the Lord, because they have so much love, that any activity which Lord performs, it becomes a source of unlimited bliss. It becomes a source of, you know, like a small child, when she has been loved by mother, mother is loving the child a lot. So any activity child does, mother is very happy. Like sometime we observe child here. So child is running, mother is happy. Child is smiling, mother is happy. Child is writing something on the paper, We don't know what it is, but mother is happy. Something is doing, you know, pleasing to the heart. It's love. It's love. It's very appealing, actually. So when the beloved does something, lover, when you love somebody, basically, then even the apparent faults become very small. And when we don't love somebody, even big good things, you know, great qualities, they completely get covered up. And even a small thing becomes too big, you know. Like I have seen even devotees talking among themselves. When they talk about somebody whom they really are very close to, or they like him or something, even a small thing, it will, you know, bring out in a very big way. It's a love. Love is like that. It brings you closer. So that is the hunger and thirst that has to be developed in the services. And Lord becomes very dynamic in these activities with his devotees. Like even pastimes in Srimad Bhagavatam, where Krishna really, really, you know, apparently gave a lot of pain. It is a pastime where Krishna was teasing Rukmini. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur starts with the commentary that here in this pastime, Rukmini is like a camphor. And Krishna's harsh speech is like a grinding stone. And when that harsh speech will be on Rukmini, it will be like camphor will be grinding on the stone. And what happens when camphor is grinded on the stone? What happens? Fragrance increases like anything. Like in the morning, when we go for deity dressing, in the morning they're making chandan, but they put a lot of camphor in it. So the whole deity room is fragrant with the camphor. So this camphor is like, this fragrance is the innate quality of that camphor. But if person has to experience it, it has to be crushed. So similarly, Lord's devotees have many wonderful qualities, and Lord crushes them many times. It's very painful, it's very scary to hear. But that's what Lord does. What he did actually, he started talking with Rukmini. He said, all of you must have read this pastime many times, but it's very relevant here, you know, because the whole discussion we are doing it, that how Mother Yashoda's affection increased by seeing the universal form. And devotees' affection increases, whatever Krishna does with them. And whatever Krishna does with non-devotees, they remain ungrateful and they only complain. Aisa kiya, waisa kiya, ye nahi kiya, wo nahi kiya. You know, this is lacking, that is lacking. So here, when Krishna started speaking to Rukmini, it was very painful. He said, you were sought after by many kings, as powerful as the big rulers of the planet. And they were decorated with wonderful qualities like political influence, wealth, beauty, generosity, physical strength. And if you would have married Shishupal, he would have been just after you throughout your life, you know, running behind you. He was just like, would have become your faithful servant. And you married me. And you consider about yourself, you're so beautiful, sober, grave, exalted. And who am I? I'm an inferior prince. I have no claim of proprietorship of any kingdom. First I was a cowherd boy. Then I killed Kamsa, but the whole kingdom went to my grandfather, Ugrasen. Now also I'm like that only. So basically in essence I'm a vagabond. Vagabond means, avara ghumte rehte idhar udhar. Like that I'm, you know, this kabila people, tribes people, they're moving here and there. So I'm basically like that. I'm basically like that. I have no claim. I'm not very heroic. I'm so coward because of fear of Jarasandha, I ran and made my whole kingdom into ocean, you know, just because of his fear. So like that he was talking about himself, I'm not qualified, I'm not very polished, I'm from village, you are from city, you know all the etiquettes, you know all the refined culture. And basically I'm penniless. And my devotees are also not very, very opulent. So basically in essence he told her, that still it's not very late. Still it's not very late. What do you mean not very late? She had grandchildren that time. It's not very late. And you should think about your future. You should think about your next life at least. And at least, although you have been trained very nicely by your father and brother in all the political things, all the, you know, nice strategies of life, but in this decision you have made a mistake. Ek to galti kar diya life mein. Still, there is not so late. What you can do, the mistake can be rectified, and it is better late than never. And because the marriage always takes place among equals, and where are you and where am I? You know, there is no match actually. There is no match. Because marriage has to take place when the opulence, wealth, beauty, education, family tradition, they all should be same. Although if there is a master and there is a servant, there can be a difference of level. If there is a guru and disciple, there can be a difference of level. But in husband and wife, there has to be some equal match. So Krishna basically proposed a divorce to Rukmini at this time. And as simple she was, she was just becoming more and more and more anxious and grief-stricken and anxiety-ridden. And she just fell like a banana tree, you know. Like you cut a banana tree, it fell like a flat. Like she just fell down. Although Krishna didn't have any purpose like that. Krishna just wanted to increase the love, because Rukmini was always very sober, no complaints, just serving all the time. When Krishna had given one Parijat flower to Rukmini, Satyabhama had made a big hue and cry. And then she was satisfied only when the big tree was brought, a full Parijata tree. But now Krishna was expecting that maybe I'll also agitate him a little bit, she will get angry and I want to see her angry face and everything. But she got very, very much affected. And she has never heard such harsh words. And Chamar fell down, in ornaments became loose, and he fell flat down straight. And she started telling, and then Krishna became confused completely. He was lying on the bed, and Rukmini was doing chamar. Immediately got up, and Bhagavatam describes he got four hands because he needed really help to pick up Rukmini and pacify her. So basically, if you see in this pastime, the love is increasing from both the sides. Although he expected something else happened. But even now, it's not that Rukmini love went down. Rukmini love became more and more intense in this year. And Rukmini actually said to him, she said many things, clarified all these accusations. She said, you're talking about that you're not completely fit. Yeah, we are not fit combination. Because where are you and where am I? You're the supreme personality of Godhead. I am an ordinary living entity. She's comparing herself to the ordinary living entity controlled by three modes. And you are the controller of three qualities. You are the master of greatness. You are the master of goodness. And you are talking about that you ran away from the kings of the world. But who are the kings? Who are the kings of this world? Three modes. Sattaguna, Rajaguna and Tamaguna. They are actual kings of this world. And they are under your grip. Mayadhakshena prakriti suyate se characharam. They are under your grip. And you are talking about the worldly kings, that you maintain enmity with the worldly kings. Again, another comparison he gives to the worldly kings to the senses. And she said, yeah, you really maintain enmity with the senses, sense gratification. Even your devotees don't get attracted to the sense gratification. So like that, she actually clarified each and every point. She said, you are penniless, even your devotees are penniless, because you don't care of this material wealth. I cannot understand your statement that women and others, persons who have taken shelter of under lotus feet, pass their days only in bereavement. Because he had told that those whoever takes shelter of me, they just cry. In one sense, it is right also. Because once Gaur Govind Maharaj was giving one lecture, and he said, one girl approached to one great soul, and she said, I want to be devotee of Krishna. And he said, you want to be devotee of Krishna? Think twice. He'll make you cry and cry and cry. So in one sense it is right that once you become devotee of Krishna, you'll just be crying and crying and crying. But that crying is something very special, you know, like we were discussing in last few classes, that how Uddhava saw the crying of Yanda and Yashoda. So he got bewildered. What kind of preaching should I do to them? Should I tell them not to cry for Krishna? Because the essence of all the scriptures is to cry for Krishna. So she said, so many kings like Bharat, Prithu, Anga, Yayati, they all left their kingdom and they went to the forest to achieve your lotus feet. Do you think they left all their kingdom just to become grief-stricken throughout their life, just to cry? Don't think that I have made a mistake. I have made the most intelligent decision in my life by accepting your lotus feet. You may throw me in any species of life according to the reactions of my fruitive activities. I haven't the least concern for this. My only ambition is that I may always remain, stick to your lotus feet and do some seva. So the whole thing, when it came out, like, you know, crushing, the many qualities are coming out from Rukmani, you know, how she is so submissive and so devoted to Lord, so loyal. She knows everything, the glories of the Lord. And that's what Lord does. In Lord Chaitanya Leela also, so many pastimes are there. One pastime which I just reading recently, that how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought about the wonderful qualities of Govinda. So one day when Lord Chaitanya Bhaiya danced for hours and hours and hours in Jagmohan, the place, Kirtan Hall in the Jagannath Temple, and devotees got really tired, so then Lord Chaitanya understood and he took prasadam with all of them, he farewelled them, then he came to his place called Gambhira. And then he just lay down at the door step of the, his room. Generally he would go inside and lay down and Govinda would come and start massaging his feet till the time Lord Chaitanya gets sleeps. And then he would go and take his prasad. But today, he was just lying on the door. So Govinda said, Moha, mora deha bhitar yaite. I want to come inside. Please, please be aside. Prabhu kahe shakti nahi ang chalaite. Badan hilane ka shakti nahi hai. I don't have any strength. Now the person who has all the millions of universes on his head and he feels like some mustard seeds on his head, that person doesn't have the strength to move his body. Can you believe it? We have to believe it because the rasa, rasa tattva is not the philosophy here. So Govinda kahe karite chahi pad samvahan, Prabhu kahe karava na kar, yehi lahe tumhara man. Karna hai to karo, nahi karna hai to mat karo. If you want to do seva, you do. If you don't want to do, you don't do. So that's what Krishna does. Krishna's devotees also do like that many times, great souls. They will give you some instruction and they will say, now it has to be done. Don't ask me how. If you want to do, you do. Otherwise, it's up to you. But the person is so much loving and for that, he will do anything for that. And that's what Govinda did. Bhitare ghare gela mahapurve langiya. He crossed Mahaprabhu, which is just, cannot even think, you cannot even conceive. Even an ordinary person, we touch our leg, we touch his body and we don't even imagine to cross his body. But he crossed it and went inside, started massaging slowly, slowly, slowly. Lord Chaitanya went to sleep and kept on waiting there only. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got up after around 45 minutes. He said, and he got upset. He said, what are you doing here? Generally you have to go and take prasad. He said, how can I go? You're lying on the way. He said, the way you had entered, the same way you can go out. So Govinda didn't say anything. See, this is also how wonderful, deep quality of Govinda. He didn't justify, he just internally thinking. That's what Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes. Govinda kahe mane, manne mein sochne lage wo. Amara seva se niyama, aparad hauka kiva narake gamana. If for service I need to go to hell, I am ready to go to hell. If there is a need for service. Seva lagi koti aparad nahi gani. So nimitta parada bhase bhaye mani. For service, I can take thousands of offenses. But I am very fearful of committing any offense for myself. Ehi sab hai bhakti shastra sukshma marma. Krishnadas Kaviraja Goswami writes that these are the essence of the scriptures which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is bringing out, you know. Chaitanya kripaya jane ehi sab dharma. Only by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, we can understand these subtleties, that how Lord Chaitanya's devotees are ready to do anything for the sake of the pleasure of the Lord. The whole concept is to give pleasure to the Lord. Bhakta guna prakashite prabhu bada rangi, ehi sab prakashite kailayati bhangi. What Lord Chaitanya is doing, he is manifesting the exalted qualities of his devotees through these pastimes. So what is happening over here, if we carefully see, that either Lord, he is putting himself sometime into that situation, like he is showing his universal form, he is dancing on Kaliya. When Krishna was dancing on Kaliya, for a long time he was in the coil of the Kaliya. Can you imagine if a mother sees her child not only near a snake, but coiled by a snake. Or not by one snake or two snakes, there are thousand and thousand-headed snake. And he's in the coil of the Kaliya. So Yashodama is fainting over there. And that fainting is like increasing their love. You know, now from material point of view, we cannot understand this. It's actually the increase, upsurge of the love. So this is happening. And what he does in the sadhaka's life, if we read the Narad Muni's story in the first canto, he passes the person through various ups and downs. And person has to really, really take shelter of Lord and his devotees to develop that love. Because they don't have love. Here we gave the example, they already had love. And we are just relishing that love. What happened in Narad Muni? He was a small child. He came across with some sadhus. His mother was serving them. He also took part enthusiastically. So Prabhupada writes that what matters actually in the advancement is only one thing, that is service. Only service. Because he served the great souls became pleased with him, and they showered their mercy on him. And why he could serve and why they became pleased? Some basic qualification he had. And one shloka, Shukdev Goswami talks about it, that he had controlled senses, dante, adrita kridanaka, he had no attachment for sports, he was anuvartani, he was obedient, and sushrumane, he was faithful, and alpabhashani, not speaking more than required. Because when we speak more than required, it actually contaminate others and it contaminate our whole existence. So alpabhashani, whatever is needed, spoken and went ahead. No attachment to sports means no frivolity, no frivolousness basically. It's not that there is no kind of, yuktahara, viharasya. Krishna talks about that there has to be some kind of refreshment. But not that throughout the day you are just playing around and wasting the time. So he had the control over his life, you know. And that's why he could attract their mercy. He could attract their mercy. And because of that, they gave him the taste for the Krishna Katha. Actually, that is the mercy. What is the mercy? That they gave him the taste for Krishna Katha. Shukadeva Goswami writes, Tatran Vaham Krishna Katha Pragayatam Anugrahena Shrinavam Manohara. Anugrahena, apni anugrah de diya. They gave their causeless mercy, and because of that, what happened? Ta Shraddhaya Me Anupadam Vishnuvata. With faith and with attention, he started hearing about Krishna. He started chanting the mantra which was given to him. So basically, he became very fixed in his sadhana. If we talk about from the today's our bhakti yoga point of view. He becomes very fixed up in the sadhana with the association of great souls. Because he had some basic criteria. And now because he is fixed up to some extent, now Lord gave a jerk. He had only one attachment in his life, that was his mother. Although he wanted to go with those sadhus at that time only. He was so attracted to them. But because of the duty towards his mother and her dependence on him, he stayed back. So basically he waited for the right time to come. So many times in life, patience is even more important than enthusiasm. Because enthusiastically we may accept something, but later on we may not be able to continue it. So patience, I feel personally, what I have experienced, little bit of few years of practice, patience are needed more after few years than enthusiasm. Enthusiasm is good in the beginning. Then you have to just wait, you know, what is Krishna's arrangement after some time. He waited and Krishna made the arrangement. Mother is bitten by a snake. It's very, from material point of view, it's like a shock. People will say, kya Hare Krishna ban gaya? You became Hare Krishna, you lost your mother. But he said, no, it is an arrangement by the Lord. Prabhupada writes, an orphan is really poor because he has no one to take care of him. But a beloved son of a rich man, although he appears to be on the same level as the orphan, is always under the vigilance of his capable father. So devotee's life, when difficulties come, he's not orphan. He has been personally watched and cared and guided by the Lord. Situations are arranged by the Lord. So Narad Muni was sufficiently advanced to face this reversal. So we have to be sufficiently advanced by our sadhana. When reversal comes, when difficulties come, we can take them in a positive way. Because Lord's special mercy is going to come in various ways. Like we say to Krishna, I am yours. And second line is very scary. Now you can do anything with me. That is very scary. You can do anything. But we can say that when we develop the dependence on the Lord, and devotee is put into a forlorn condition, is more fortunate because he swiftly returns to the lotus feet of the Lord. Because Krishna puts them in such situations. So for a sadhaka life, when we see the situations where love increases, basically the more difficulties means more love. Krishna is showing more love towards them. And now devotees have to reciprocate with them, with Lord, by exercising their determination to catch hold to the lotus feet of the Lord. So Narada Muni took it in a very positive way. He left the village, he started walking for the search of the Lord, and he passed through all the forest, all the cities. So basically, he actually has seen the life. It's not that he just went from one forest to another forest. When he was passing through the cities, he actually saw the economic development, but he rejected it. And then again he went to one pretty peaceful place, sat under a banyan tree, started meditating on the Lord. Lord appeared. A different test if we see carefully. In the beginning, the test was that whether he becomes sincere about sadhana. Second test was whether he can take the Lord's arrangement positively. Now the third test is much deeper, where Lord gave him darshan and disappeared. This is like quite advanced. He got the darshan of the Lord and he's trying his best to see Lord again. He could not see, and Lord says, I am very sorry, you know. I regret that during this lifetime you will not be able to see me anymore. Thank you, sorry. Now what do you have to do? O virtuous one, you have only once seen my person, and this is just to increase your desire for me. So now Krishna is, in again, what he is doing? Increasing his love. Because he gave darshan, because when we get a glimpse of something very beautiful and we don't get to see it, our hankering increases for it. So again, Lord Krishna increases hankering, so that whatever little bit traces of some material contamination would have been there, that can be completely burned. And he can be brought to the lotus feet of the Lord, you know, completely purified and becoming more intense devotee. And same is done by the devotees of the Lord. Devotees of the Lord are always watching, especially pure devotees, the spiritual master to his disciple. And they are very much carefully observing that how to increase their love. Like I was hearing this one pastime from Nityananda Prabhu about Ramanujacharya. He was given poison, you know, two times. And there was a great threat to his life. So his spiritual master was very concerned for his life, Goshtipurna. So Goshtipurna was very concerned. So once he came to meet him, and Ramanujacharya went out of the village to receive his guru, one of the gurus. And it was a hot sand bank of the Kaveri, and he paid obeisances. It was burning. And he paid his obeisances, and generally when you pay obeisances through great soul has to give some indication that you get up now. And Goshtipurna was not giving any indication. And Ramanujacharya's body was burning, its blisters and everything. He would have died if it continued like that. And he was just standing. And Ramanujacharya with many of his disciples. And disciples were confused what to do. If we speak something, there is offense. If we don't speak, then our guru will die. And one disciple could not tolerate. He just lie down on the burning, scorching sand, put Ramanujacharya's body on him, and kept on lying like this. And after he went on lying like this, when Goshtipurna sufficiently tested him that he is ready to give up his body for his guru, he said, okay, get up now. Now he will cook for you. He'll cook for you because he's ready to give his life for you. So basically here, if you see again, he wanted to see how much love, or which disciple had that much love that he's ready to give his life. So that is how devotees do that. Many, many situations they do different things. Bhurjanpu writes in his My Glorious Master that when he was preaching in Hong Kong, so it was very difficult over there. Too difficult. They were alone over there with his wife. And he said, it was tough. I was from New York, a rough person. New York culture is not very refined. And my wife was from Australia. And first of all, we had a tough time. And then preaching over there, Chinese had no interest, and even those who are Indians and they have their shop names, Krishna Enterprises, Gopal Enterprises, they had no interest in Gopal and Krishna. Only namesake, the name was written. So it was so tough. And because when things are tough, and we become dhila, you know, loose. So Prabhupada understood that one of my disciples is struggling over there alone. He came. He sent a message, I am coming. So Bhurjanpu became more scared now because already so much trouble, there is no facility, and I am in the not a very good shape spiritually, personally. Prabhupada is coming. So he started making some arrangements. He started making whatever contacts he had. So he contacted one person, fixed that Rolls Royce will pick up the Prabhupada. He contacted another person, two beautiful garland of roses will come. So he's waiting at the airport with his wife, Jagatarani, Jagatarani Mataji, and neither car has come nor the roses have come. And the flight has been arrived, and Prabhupada is walking, he has seen the saffron color also, he's about to faint. What will happen? What Prabhupada will think, that not even one garland you could bring for me? No car? What are you doing here for so many months or years? And that last moment, car came, and garlands also came. He actually fainted. And he sat into the car, and Prabhupada started talking with Mataji, how are your parents? I met them in Australia, they're doing good. And then he turned towards Bhurjanpu. And the first question he asked Bhurjanpu, how about your morning program? And he said, well, well, Prabhupada, you know, he fumbled. You know, really not many guests coming nowadays, so we usually don't have morning program. So Prabhupada said, if guests are not coming, then why you don't have morning program? And then he said, is your temple in ISKCON? He said, is your temple in ISKCON? And second he said, whose disciple are you? He got a shock of his life. He said, of course, I am your disciple, Prabhupada. Then why don't you have a morning program? And Bhurjanpu writes, it was like an open heart surgery without anesthesia. And then he says that in commentary, that actually we had mixed desires, we have impurities, we have enjoying spirit, and we have a tendency to get drifted. Although we are doing service, we are doing the mission of the Lord, we are missing the mission of the spiritual master, we are doing preaching and service, but it's very dangerous. And Prabhupada made it very clear when he asked, whose disciple you are? That if you are my disciple, then you should be ready to listen to me. You should be ready to listen to me. And I am shouting that you should read my books, you should have morning program, you should be chanting. Because what Bhurjanpu started doing, he would just chant in the morning. And that too also in Gaon Beach some time to chant. And he started wearing some time no devotee clothes. He said this kind of tendency comes up on the name of preaching. He said Prabhupada, although his association was very mellow, very sweet, you know, he would encourage disciples many ways. Like before leaving, he gave one ring to Jagatarani Mataji and encouraged her like anything. But many a times, because to preach Krishna consciousness throughout the world, Prabhupada would constantly and strongly pushing his disciple. Insisted that they strictly follow rules and regulation and sacrifice everything to satisfy Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is the thing, this is the love at our level. To increase the love means to take the instructions more seriously, to push ourselves more seriously, and whatever comes, sweet or bitter, it has to be taken that it is for my benefit. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki. Would you like to say something? Gandhara Srimad Bhagavatam ki.